Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. My name's Tony and I'm joined today by Pastor Benjamin Faircloth. This is a very powerful interview and I suggest that you listen right the way through. It's one of those ones where me having recorded it last night, I just go, wow. I think you'll get to the end of it and go, wow, as well. Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show, Pastor Benjamin Faircloth.
Hey, thank you so much, Tony. I'm humbled to be with you today.
It's great to be able to have you on the show. I've been looking forward to this all day. It's late night here. It's early for you, and I'm really been rearing to go. So can you please tell the listeners a little bit about your ministry?
Sure. Thank you so much. We're pastoring in Livonia, Georgia. The name of the church is Ignited Church. We've been in ministry for about 25 years, about 5 years here in this region. And the main thrust of our ministry is missions. And we've been doing that and seeing God move across the nations. And so right now we're here in Livonia, just raising up this end time remnant church. And God has really been blessing us here. And we are expecting to see a greater harvest in the coming days.
So when you say missionary type of work, is it local that you're reaching out to, or are you kind of getting a wider impact?
Well, absolutely. It's definitely Jerusalem is your first stop. That's local. But our ministry has been the 17 different countries, preaching the gospel, doing everything you can do when it comes to missions, including feeding the hungry and things of that nature. So yeah, it's local, but it's also worldwide.
Awesome. That sounds great. I like hearing, people that are reaching out to the wider community and to the world as a whole. You also move in the prophetic, and you've had or published two prophetic words in the last week or so detailing what you believe that God has shown you regarding what is coming to America. So can you tell our listeners a bit about the words that you've received?
Well, absolutely. The first word in relation to what you and I are talking about was called the Divided States of America. And I can read that word when you want me to, but it was a specific word about where we are as a nation. And, we're not a united nation. As you know, we're the United States. But according to, where we are in reality is we are the Divided States of America. There's no doubt about that. And so I can go into that in more detail whenever you want me to, but the Divided States of America.
Yes. Go into that. That'd be good.
Well, it was on July 10th, 2016, the Father spoke to me. It was a very sobering word. He said this. He said, America, I have warned you the sword was coming. I sent you my prophets, but you rejected them. You rejected my counsel. You rejected my gospel. You forfeited your place at my table. Your open rebellion has become a seething pot that has boiled over into your streets. Your fairways have become places of darkness and despair. Your avenues of laughter will now be turned to sorrow, all for the sake of rejecting me. I called you, but you would not answer. Now you will eat the portions prepared by your enemies. Your time has come, America. Judgment is here. Where will you flee? Who will you call when your nation falls? I am, and I always will be, the only firm and lasting foundation for which any nation must stand upon. Church, where are you? As I called Adam within his sin, I'm calling you to come out from amidst the trees. Stop hiding from what I already see. It's your sin that causes your shame. It is your sin that will cause this nation to ignite with flames. Come clean and reason with me. Buy of me true gold. Buy of me robes of righteousness and wear my holiness for all to see. These are the final days of this nation's reprieve, for soon hell will be released. It's time for all to find their place within me, for I will not always strive with man.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful. I want to quote you from another one that you've written. I'm not sure if it was from that same article or another one, where you basically said, the earth hears a trumpet blast of the Creator, but we can't because we are too busy listening to the sounds of entertainment. We are dulled in our hearing because we have dull preachers preaching dull messages of compromise. The First Church of the Titanic is too worried about rearranging the chairs on the deck while the ship takes in water and is headed for the bottom of the sea floor. But don't you worry, everything is fine. This is your best life now, and the sound you're hearing is not twisting metal. It's just the choir preparing to sing Oh Happy Day. I just thought that is such a brilliant analogy of what we're seeing in Western Christianity by and large.
Well, it's so true, Tony. We're deceived, we're delusional, because we have partaken, if you will, the poison of the utopia deception that's on the earth today, and especially in Western Christianity, as you said, because we believe in a getting away, I'm out of here type of theology, and no pain, there's going to be no sorrow, you know, I'm blessed, and all these different things, when the reality of the body of Christ, as you know, in third world, in different parts of the world, in different nations, our brothers and sisters are suffering, extreme suffering. And we sit here in the lap of luxury, and we say, because we've been taught this from our pulpits, everything's going to be fine. And it's not fine.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you think the church in America and the West is generally healthy, or is it more like the Laodicean church and lukewarm and weak?
Oh, it's the Babylonian, apostate, lukewarm, Laodicean. I mean, just heap on what you want. It's a fact. It's a reality. A lot of people don't want to hear this and they get offended by it. But let's just pull back the covers, if you will, and let's look at the sin-soaked church of America. Look at our, you know, LA preachers. I want to pimp my preacher type of mentality that's going on. We want to be Hollywood stars. We want to be the Kardashians. We want all of this hype in our churches today, and nobody wants to stand up for righteousness and holiness. So yeah, the Bible declares when the head is sick, the whole body is sick. And we have a sick head right now.
So how do you manage to get on with your church then? How do people respond? Because your message is obviously not the same as, I was going to name some, but I won't. you know, okay. Some of the mega churches who we don't need to name, but your message is so very different, obviously, from them. How are people responding to what you're saying?
Well, the thing about it is we're getting tremendous response. You know, you always have the Hananiahs out there, the Sanballats. You always have that. But within my congregation, I have a very strong core who just loves the Lord. They're on fire for Him. They want to see the glory of God. They receive this message. And this message isn't new. I didn't just jump on the boat and the bandwagon. We've been doing this for quite a while, declaring the same truth, even when I didn't have any media platforms. I just continued to plow and tell the truth. So my people are prepared. They're carrying the load very well. And we're going to be a city of refuge for the end times.
So what do you see coming in the near future?
Well, I see anarchy. I see chaos, crisis. I see martial law. I see tremendous hatred of the soul. We're already witnessing that. We can get into the word later on about the month of red blood shall be shed, which is this month, and we've seen it. And so I think we're headed to some great, great chaos and instability, if you will, or instability in this nation.
So you're not one of these that are thinking one of the presidential candidates is going to be the savior of America and make it great again?
No, we're going to get Jezebel.
Uh-huh. So you believe it'll be Clinton?
Oh, absolutely. That's what the Lord spoke to me. Yes.
That's interesting, because honestly, there's so many different prophetic words on this whole thing. You know, who will it be?
Yes, I agree. And I, you know what, as I release this word, Brother Tony, I hope I'm wrong. You know, a lot of prophetic people don't say that.
Yeah.
But from what I see, you know, look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah went to Hananiah and he said, you know, Hananiah, I wish your word was true. I'm paraphrasing him, but He said, I would hope that it was true and that he was wrong. He said, but Hananiah, I'm right. And you're going to die within a year. So,
yeah.
You know, that's how I feel, Brother Tony. I don't want any of these things to happen.
to be honest, you know, like I'm on the other side of the world, it's kind of like the Minute to Midnight team is, we've got a couple in America and three of us in New Zealand. It's like looking at the goldfish bowl from the outside here. But the way I look at it is, or the way it appears, is the whole election thing is a farce, actually. And that all of the Clinton and Trump, I think they're just both elite candidates, both puppets, and Obama was put there by the elite. So which one of them ends up being the president, well, you know, he could have martial law as far as I can see, and Obama delays the election, or perhaps Trump might be elected and never is allowed to come to power. But whatever, I don't think it's going to be a good outcome. That's my personal, you know, opinion from the outside anyway.
No, that's a perfect opinion. That's a very clear opinion for being where you are on the globe. It doesn't matter to me either. If you just take this thing from an intelligent point of view, or be a critical thinker, and that's one thing missing in the body of Christ, especially here in America, is we're no longer critical thinkers.
Yeah.
We receive what the news tells us, we receive what, you know, popular preacher tells us, and then we digest that and then we mimic it. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to discern, pray, be critical about things. And at the end of the day, it's not going to matter who's the president of the United States. So connect the dots for just a moment. Do you think after 7.5 years of tyranny in this country, and it has been tyranny, it may be a slow burning tyranny, but we've basically watched a coup take over in our country. So think for just a minute. Do you really believe all these things put into place, laws, czars, you name it, is just going to be reversed by one man in one day?
No.
There's no way.
No.
And if you follow the connections and follow the dots, look at the Congress, look at our political apparatus. Nobody has challenged this man, Obama. No one has really put teeth behind anything. He has gotten away with whatever he's wanted to do. Yeah, a hiccup there and a hiccup there, here and there. But you know what? That's just show. That's just political circus. So, you know, my comment on that is connect the dots. It's not going to change overnight. It's not going to happen with anybody getting elected president.
Yeah, I totally agree, because there's a machine behind them, and they only get to that place if they've towed the line of the machine. And I don't believe any of them are exempt from that. They wouldn't be where they were had they not gone up through that, the ranks of that machine, you know, be it whatever you want to call them, the elite, the Illuminati, you know, the people that are behind the whole thing. That's the way I see it. So if that's the case, what about with the church then? Are we witnessing a great falling away, or is there a remnant that is spreading the true gospel, and are we going to see a great harvest of souls in the days ahead? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, absolutely. You always have the wheat and the tare growing together, the wheat and the tare. You always have that, the cold and the hot. And so we're going to see that as we progress along. The hotter are going to get hotter, the colder are going to get colder. And the church is going to be a conflict. I believe there will be a greater conflict within the church when you have the super church, that is the Babylonian system type of church, which is already alive today. It's very obvious. And then the remnant, the firebrands, the called out ones, they're going to rise up too. And so mixed into all of that rising up is persecution. Well, persecution is the power for us to be propelled into our future. We must have an enemy. And I don't want to get into the totality of that, but there is a necessity of an enemy in our lives. And this is what the church is missing. We want all the glory. We want all these different things. But we have to have the persecution. We have to have the pressure on us so that we would be developed into who God has called us to be. And again, this doesn't set well for greasy grace type of people. But the reality is, you know, we have to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. We have to go to the place of the crushing in order for the true anointing to come out. So that's where I see the church heading. And in that process, man, the greatest revival, the former, the latter rain, the mighty flood of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, part 2, it's not done. It's not finished. Everything that Jesus began to teach and to do, Acts chapter 1, we're going to see it manifested. And this is our greatest hour, but it won't be painless. It won't be sorrowless. It's going to be full of chaos and tragedy. But that's when the church shines its greatest. Look at church history. When we are under pressure, we become the most powerful entity on the earth. And that's what I'm looking for. I don't want the mess. By no means am I a person of doom. But I understand the Bible, and I understand what God is saying. If you want my glory, you're going to have to go through this season of fire.
So, yeah, you mentioned, I think, a couple of words with P there, persecution and pressure, I think they were. And then straight away came to my mind another word beginning with P, and that's prayer. And I really wonder how much prayer, real prayer, goes in, you know, around the nation.
Well, we're prayerless. David said it was a sin to be prayerless.
Yeah.
And we are. We're a prayerless people. The only time we pray is when we're under pressure, when we need something. And so, again, precious are the tears before God. You know, they're bottled up in his throne. And I believe they're bottled up for an outpouring. And, we're going to see a tremendous movement of prayer, but it's going to be repentive prayer. We're going to be repenting of our sins. And then as we become cleansed and our robes, our garments become cleansed and our hearts become pure, then the pure prayer will come out. It won't be praying for a new car. It won't be praying for stuff. It'll be, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
So what do you think are the main causes, the main things that have caused the judgment to come on America? And I don't believe it's just America either. It'll be a lot wider than America. But what do you see as the main issues that aren't being dealt with, that no one's really speaking up about?
Well, you got to go back to the beginning. I'm a big proponent of the law first mentioned. When I teach the Bible, I always go back to the beginning, because in order to know the Father and who he is, and really to know who Jesus is, you have to go back to the beginning. And so as you look back into from the beginning, and remember, he sees what? The end from the beginning. And you have to look at what caused the flood. What caused God to judge Sodom and Gomorrah? What caused the Father to extend his rod, if you will, against Israel? Rebellion. Rebellion. We are a rebellious people on this earth. We're rebelling against holiness. We're rebelling against righteousness. We're rebelling against authority. We're rebelling against the Word of God. And so, Tony, to answer that question, it is simply rebellion for our sins and our rejection of God.
Some of the issues, I mean, that you would think the church would be standing out strongly against things like abortion and the LGBT agenda and the Islamic invasion, but largely the church is pretty silent, really, isn't it?
Well, they are silent because they're afraid. They're afraid. They're afraid to say something for various reasons. I think it's money, and everything boils down to money. I thank God that I don't have to worry about money. You say, you got a lot of money? I have a big Father in heaven that takes care of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I'm not afraid of that. He told us to preach the gospel. Don't worry about your coat. Don't worry about your staff. Don't worry about anything. I'll provide for you. And we've lost that in America and really the Western world. We've lost the reality that my God shall supply all of my needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I don't have to look to a corporation or Mr. Big Bucks in my church. I don't have to look towards a foundation or a fund. I have to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so no matter my message, my provision is still the same.
Yeah, that's true. Well, so the way I see it, the church is more interested by and large in tickling the ears of people with promises of prosperity than they are of spreading the gospel of repentance. And if watchmen have been warning the people by and large are not being listened to, in fact, they're sort of labelled as doom and gloom, and no one wants to hear that. It's like, no, don't speak negative. We only want to hear positive things. But doesn't that sound a lot to me anyway, like the sort of stuff that was leveled against the prophets in the Old Testament?
Oh, absolutely. It's a mirror copy, if you will, of what they went through. And we in the prophetic community and us as watchmen and preachers of the gospel, we're not supposed to care about the opinions of men. You know, there's a borderline between being brash and rude and being right and being prophetic. And I think when it comes to this ministry of an end time, a mantle, an end time message, we can't worry about the feelings. Jeremiah was told, don't look at the faces. Don't worry about those faces. And that's one thing I've set my heart in ministry is I'm not worried about your opinion. If your opinion mattered to me, it would bother me. But it doesn't bother me because I'm of a higher opinion.
Yeah, well, that's true. So what do you see, apart from the, you know, you've seen bloodshed and stuff, so riots, what do you think is going to happen to the American economy? I mean, at a minute to midnight, we sort of drum at home that we believe in a global economic collapse is coming and all fiat currencies are going to basically collapse. And we sort of tell people to be prepared spiritually first and foremost, but also, you know, physically prepared. Do you see any sense in that, or is that off the track?
No, it's absolutely accurate. In fact, we already are in a crash. The economy has already imploded. It's a slow implosion. We just don't recognize and realize it. But if you look at the numbers, and let me just say this, most people get caught up in the stock market and they look at those numbers. Well, those are manipulated numbers.
Yeah.
We know that. The books have been cooked for a long time. But if you look at the raw data, the raw intelligence that is out there from our experts, we've already imploded. I mean, look at China. They had their greatest fall last year that, you know, compared to our Great Depression. And another thing I like to warn people here in America, Tony, is if you look at the Great Depression, we have pictures of people standing in lines, looking for food, looking for jobs. Well, the only difference between then and now is we have a magic card, if you will. I say magic being funny. We have an EBT card here in America. We have welfare. So what is keeping them from the lines? That card.
Yeah.
Chances are when you go to the grocery store here in America, and I don't know the number per se, but chances are if you have several people in front of you in line, one of them is using, or maybe two of them, this type of aid. So let's take that aid away and let's put them now on the street corner somewhere looking for food. The numbers would be astronomical.
Yeah, in the Great Depression, I believe something like 7 million people starved to death in America. And that was in the, you know, 20s and 30s. And that was in a rural economy, so without cards and all that. And those people are generally better equipped to survive back then. So, you know, heaven help the people in big cities and things now when this happens.
Oh, it's going to be Mad Max. I know some people don't like that analogy, but listen, I've been in crisis situation. My background, I'm a former firefighter EMT. I've seen chaos. I've seen crisis. I've done missions work. I've done outreaches in Hurricane Katrina, Andrew, so on and so forth. You know, I've seen how people get. And when people get desperate, the survival mode of man kicks in. And so we live in this Hollywood plastic scenery where, you know, it's not going to happen here. No, my neighbor's going to be decent, or supplies will always be there. Read the Bible. The prophecies are very specific that there will be an implosion of society at the end of time in order for order to come out of chaos. And just because, again, we're not seeing the lines, we're not seeing these type of things that have been prophesied and have happened in history, we go back to sleep and we say, you know, here you go again, talking doom and gloom.
Yeah, you mentioned the order out of chaos. I myself believe there's a deliberate plan to create chaos and then bring the order out of the chaos to move us towards a system of global government. That these are not random events we're seeing occurring here. There's a definite strategy behind them. And we're seeing the elite Luciferians, Illuminists, you know, working a satanic agenda. Though I still believe that they cannot, they might have this agenda, but they're time bound still by God ultimately. You know, they can only crash the economy when God allows them to. They may set all their plans in place. But if this is the time where God says this is it, then it's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. It's called prophetic certainty. Prophetic certainty. That's one thing we don't really teach anymore in the church, is that when God's ready to do it, He will do it. There's a certainty to what He says. And because it didn't rain yesterday, or this didn't happen, or that fulfillment didn't take place, you know, people just, they go back to sleep. And one of those great, great examples, Brother Tony, is last year, as you know, as we got into July, August, September time, I mean, the prophetic was really red hot. I mean, there was a lot of convergence going on and a lot of pointing towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I noticed in January, February, the prophetic, and it's not everybody, obviously, but many took their foot off the gas.
Yeah.
And they were pumping the brakes. And I spoke publicly about that. I said, there is no way I'm pumping my brakes. This is the word of the Lord. It doesn't matter what or what did not take place. The fact is, this is still a prophetic certainty. And I think we lose that because of delays or whatever we may call it.
Yeah, I think people got apathetic and lethargic after that. It's sort of like it went flat a little bit because people, you know, a lot of people were expecting more to happen, though a heck of a lot actually did happen behind the scenes in September last year. People don't realize it. It was a huge month in terms of the move towards global government with the Agenda 2030 being passed, and there were some things that went on in the economy behind the scenes that, you know, people don't realize, but it really set a platform for this year. And my sense is it's going to be this, you know, the end of this year is when it's actually really going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. We are headed into a tunnel or a funnel, if you will, of certainty of what God's going to do. And one word that I received recently was, you know, this month would be the month of vindication for the prophets. And what that means is, it's not the totality of all the prophetic words being spoken. That would be crazy. I mean, you know, we'd be done. You know, but what it was is as the month of July opened up and as it ends, we will begin to see that the prophetic, number one, has been right. Number two, the direction for the rest of the year will be more clear. And the reason for this, it's not vindication for me or for you, Tony, or for any named person out there who's prophetic. It is vindication for the Father, so clarity can come to the church. We got to get rid of all of this marshmallow prophecies and prophetic things that are out there that are causing confusion to the body of Christ.
So do you see that churches by and large will do that and turn to that, or is there going to be a separation of churches even, you know, the ones that sort of follow the, I don't know, the government, the rule, you know, that's being set up, while others have to go underground, or is it, how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, again, you got to go back to the word, and the word specifically and very, you know, very clearly says that we're going to have a separation. And yeah, you're going to have the colder getting colder and the hotter getting hotter, and we will go underground. There'll come a time when the super church is so strong, the Babylonian apostate church, government church, will be so powerful. The voices that are out there today, as far as the remnant are concerned, they're going to be silenced, whether it's shutting your ministry down, whether it's censoring you in some way. So yeah, it's what I call, really what the Lord gave me a message, the best of times and the worst of times.
So have you been given any particularly, well, has God particularly impressed any scriptures upon you at this time or recently?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's been keeping me in Isaiah, very strong. Isaiah, you know, 51, very powerful. Isaiah 34, you know, have your listeners take an opportunity and study these scriptures. You know, yeah, he's speaking to us that everything that ancient Israel went through, everything that they did in rebellion, America, and I'm only speaking to America, but I think it's the world, is doing the same exact thing that provoked God to send the Assyrians. Now, I use the word Assyrians here in my prophetic teachings because that means all of our enemies. That's ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Black Lives Matter. I don't care who you label it. The Assyrians are in America. And so when you look at how God had to judge rebellious Israel, that's the same thing that's happening to us. Brother Tony, for your listeners, you know, that have never heard my ministry, when I preach to my people and I speak a word to them on Sunday, I do not pick the messages. I get before the Father. I say, Father, like Solomon, I don't know how to come in and go out before your people. what do you want to say to your people? Because this is your congregation. And literally, I'll receive a download of what he wants me to teach and preach. I said that for this reason. I find myself in the book of Jeremiah, and I find myself in the book of Isaiah a lot.
So leading on from that then, what are your thoughts about Mystery Babylon? Are you thinking along the lines of America being Mystery Babylon?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. See, I don't think it's just a city. I think it's a nation. I think it's a system. And if you look at the words in the book of Revelation and other places that describe Babylon, there's no other nation on the earth than America that fits the bill to the T.
Yeah.
I know people talk about, you know, Saudi Arabia and different places and Iraq and all that. I just don't see that. You would have to take, years. It would take years, I should say, for these nations to rise up to the level we are. So, yes, we are Mystery Babylon, no doubt.
Yeah, well, there's no other nation that could be described in this time as being the hammer of the whole earth, that's for sure. America's the only one that could fit that bill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, again, it's not just a city, it's a system, it's a nation. If we lost New York, for an example, if we lost New York as the financial capital of this nation, this whole nation would crumble.
Yeah.
So when people use the analogy, well, it's just a city. No, it's a nation for sure.
Yeah, New York certainly fits the bill for that city, you know, in many, many ways. Even the Statue of Liberty, to be honest, it's
She's the queen of heaven.
Yeah, yeah, many names given over in the past, Libertas, etc. And it's interesting that it sits there, right, in the center, you know, with New York being. Well, New York sort of seen as the financial capital of the world, though possibly London should really be seen as that, I think. In fact, yeah. I think the City of London Corporation is behind, you know, so much of what's going on.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, when you were just saying a minute ago about God downloading, you know, stuff to you, that really brought home to me there are a lot of churches, particularly the mega type churches, but not only them, who I don't even see how the Holy Spirit could move because everything is so programmed down to the minute. You know, they have a certain program and it has to be, it's this time or that time, and they might even have a screen come down and they're linking with some other church somewhere and everything is contrived. How on earth would the Holy Spirit move in those churches?
Yeah, you're right. I've worked in a mega church before, and this particular ministry was seen over 97% of the homes in America. And I understand, you know, what has happened, Tony, is they become a production center. In other words, they have series, and the series have to connect with the next series, and it has to go into marketing, and it has to go into, you know, what's happening on these television stations, and on and on. And I think what's happened is, you know, and you're exactly right, we have forfeited and substituted the Holy Spirit so that we can have a media ministry, if you will. We call that outreach. But really, all it is marketing. It's just allowing your ministry to grow in the form of facts and figures. And we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to make disciples out of men. We're supposed to be fishers of men. We're supposed to have places of worship where the Holy Spirit just comes in and just dwells among us. And who cares about a plan?
I think back to the Old Testament, like Joseph and how he was shown to prepare not only for himself and he saved his family ultimately, but for a whole nation. And so I do see a role for people to be Josephs in this modern day. You know, some people are called to have lots of resources, not just for themselves, but so they can finance the kingdom of God, and when the chaos absolutely descends, that those people will hopefully be ports of call to provide for others that are less fortunate. And so I do see a role for that. But if I look at the New Testament, I don't see the 12 disciples rolling in money when they're preaching the gospel, or Paul or Apollos or any of them. So why is it that these mega ministries, so many of them seem to be so wealthy?
That's because the people allow them to be wealthy. You know, in America, we have a democracy. Well, in the church, you have a theocracy. And if we follow the plans of God, then we would have the type of church God wants. But because we in the pew do not speak to the pulpit and demand the pulpit to go back to righteousness and holiness, they get away with what they're doing. I've been calling for revolt for the past couple of years. In fact, my whole ministry has been revolt against the status quo, the corporate church, because I believe we need to get back to the basics of the book of Acts. That's the real church, in my opinion. That's the template. And so we've allowed these charlatans, we've allowed these pastors by sending them offerings for a CD, and I'm not against all that thing. If you have material and ministry material and you need to get it out, I got that. But the point is, it almost becomes a cycle to where itchy ears, it's never enough. I want the latest teaching because this man said it. Does that make sense, Brother Tony?
Yeah, it does. It totally does. I mean, people need to survive. People need, money, and ministries need money to survive. Yeah. But it just seems there's a really unhealthy emphasis on it. And I cringe when I see a lot of, pastors and these ministries and evangelists crying out for money all the time. It's just, oh. I mean, I know what it's like to have to survive as a kind of a ministry. We need money, and so, you can't survive without it, and it's hard. I don't even like asking, but the reality is that we need it to live, but it's just, there's just something in the whole demanding, it's almost like God won't bless you unless you give to this big ministry, that kind of a thing,
Right, exactly. There's a curse attached to the blessing, and that's not so. Hey, look, the Apostle Paul, he spoke of money, he spoke of support, he thanked those in the churches that he had influence over for the offerings. Yeah, so money, it does make the world go around, if you will. It's definitely something that fuels our faith, but it's not something that we follow after. Ministry never follows money. Money follows ministry. And so if I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and my fruit is righteousness, then everything else I need will come along. I don't have to pump, prime, beg, threaten anybody because my God's big enough for that. And so I just go back to that statement, the pew, the people have allowed these men and women to get away with murder, if you will, extortion, and I'm calling for a revolution. I'm calling for a revolt of the remnant church to say, get out of these Babylonian churches, stop sending your money so these guys can build bigger buildings.
Yeah.
And they're preaching a faulty gospel and they're getting faulty conversions and we're going deeper into apostate life. Because the true pure gospel is not being preached.
I'm sort of expecting and waiting to see when the economic collapse happens, which I believe is coming soon, how many of these churches are actually going to fold because they're in debt and they've based their whole ministry on debt, which I don't believe is scriptural either. And I think God may actually see a lot of these big ministries completely disintegrate because the people won't be able to give to them anyway because they're going to be in such strife financially themselves.
You're absolutely right. Two things. Number one, go back to 2008 and see how many churches literally folded.
Mm.
Go back and look. I remember a lot of these motivational speakers came out and said, they had these titles, Surviving in Crisis or Surviving the Hard Times. And they came out with this platform, and it really wasn't encouraging the church to cut back. It was encouraging the church to continue to get into debt if you really pulled back the covers. So that was number one. Go back and look there. Number two, the Lord spoke to me, actually gave me a vision where I saw mega churches burning. He showed me that when the crisis comes, when there is no food, and these masses go to these mega churches banging on the door for resources and help, because every time you go by a big church, you think there's gold hidden in the back room or something.
Yeah.
And they have nothing, Brother Tony. They will have nothing to give to the people, and they will burn them down. I'm not saying all of them. What I'm saying is there will be a vast majority.
I've had a similar sort of picture in my mind as well, and it really struck me. Happened to me, I sort of had almost an open vision, I suppose. It was a couple of years ago, similar type of thing. But since, we can't really change that as such, but in the situation where you are, how are you telling your congregation to prepare? Are you giving them warning, or what are you doing as far as that goes?
Well, we've been doing this for several years, and I would say, as a pastor, I'm very satisfied where my church is. I don't have any real concerns, because I've been constantly on the wall declaring and decreeing and showing evidence in the world and the evidence of the word and the prophetic. And so, yeah, we've been working very hard on the wall, if you will, getting our homes prepared, getting our families prepared. Number one is spiritual. Get your house in order. That's been a very strong word from the Lord, probably for the past several years from this pulpit. It's get your house in order, your spiritual house, and then do a 360 view. And this is one thing I want to relate to your audience, if I may. The Lord spoke to me and said, do a 360 view. Take your life and look 360. Look for the breaches in your life, first of all, spiritually. Then look for your physical breaches, security of your home. Do you have the proper security? Do you have the proper food? Are you out of the Babylonian baking system the best that you can? And I can go on with that further, but the whole point is, and to go back to your original question, yeah, our church is prepared because this is what I've been telling them.
Oh, that's great. It's great to hear somebody actually telling a church to do that, because there wouldn't be too many churches doing that. And it's an awesome message. So things can seem pretty dire. So, you know, what should people do at this point, particularly at this late stage? You know, has God shown you any keys for Christians for the coming times of trouble?
Yeah, he sure has. Two words recently. One, you know, anytime I get a word from the Lord that's pretty heavy and sobering, Tony, I always ask the Father, what do we do?
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't hand somebody this
exactly.
Hot.
Yeah.
You know, and not have hope. And and the last couple words he spoke to me was, number one, prepare for war. Prepare for war. Now, when someone hears that, they think, well, that's not too much hope. Well, that's a lot of hope, because I understand war, being a former a veteran, though I've never seen war. I understand training. And so to me, prepare for war means I need to prepare. I need to do what is necessary for conflict. And then the second thing he said to me was, stay with me, shelter with me. And that's very important, because Psalms 91, you know, that's our promise, man. No matter what comes against us, we're going to be under those mighty wings, those pinions of direction that he has. And so that builds faith within me, knowing that not only am I going to go through the crisis and the chaos, but I'm not going alone. God is with me. And if God be with me, who could ever be against me?
That's true. That's great. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you on the net?
Sure. I appreciate that. It's ignitedchurchlife.com. ignitedchurchlife.com, and has all of our teaching ministry material there, and a little bit of information about us. And so it'd be a pleasure if you come visit us.
Yes. Yeah, so they can actually visit your church. They can find it easily enough.
Oh, absolutely. Even from New Zealand.
That sounds great. Perhaps would you be able to pray a prayer, you know, for the people that are listening? We don't often do that on the show, but I just feel tonight I really would like that.
I would love to. Heavenly Father, we just come before your presence today in the mighty name of Jesus and through the powerful grace that's applied to us through his blood. Father, for those that are listening to me right now, I know there are those that are fearful. They have anxiety. Father, I pray right now that by your Holy Spirit, you would give them peace that passes all understanding, that you would embrace them and let them know, Father, that you'll never leave them, you'll never forsake them, that they are the apple of your eye, the apex of your creation. I ask, Father God, that you would raise up the remnant church today to be who she's supposed to be in this last day. I pray for those, Father God, that are preachers of the gospel listening to me right now. I speak the boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit to rise up upon you, that you would speak, thus saith the Lord, that the seal of compromise would be broken off of your mouth now, and that you would have a coal off the fiery altar of God dipped and placed upon your tongue, that you would speak with boldness, with love, but boldness and righteousness in this last hour, speaking, thus saith the Lord. Father, I pray for this ministry. I pray for Tony and all those involved in this ministry. And I pray for an increase and expansion, Father God, of their voice to the nations of the earth. I speak, Father God, right now that every blockage would be removed and that the finances would flow into this organization for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, bless your people now and love on them as only you can, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So have you got any final words that you'd like to share with the people?
I sure do, Tony. Listen, God loves you. God has a plan for you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. No matter how crazy it gets outside of your window or your doorstep, the Father already knew it from the beginning. That's why these prophecies are out there. These are love words. I know they're hard, but they're words of love. They're words of encouragement. And he's using these words as a safety net for you. So when they do come upon the earth, you can go back and say, God said this. You can go back to Isaiah and see that the Father already had a plan. These are good words that are being spoken, even in the hardest times. These are good words because there's hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ. Don't give up on him in these last days. Hold on to him because he'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Wow, that's great advice. Fantastic words. Well, I want to say thank you so much for being on the A Minute to Midnight show, Pastor, and I'd definitely love to have you back.
Sounds good, Brother Tony. I would love to visit with you again. Thank you.
Wow, that was powerful. So you can hear that and all our other interviews on our YouTube channel. Please remember to subscribe to it if you haven't already done so. Also visit aminutetomidnight.com and notice that night is spelled N-I-T-E. We regularly publish new articles and all our shows on that website. There's also a donation button on there if you feel led to help us, and that really does help, and we're very grateful for those that do contribute. I also write and record all the music and play all the music that we use on all of our shows, and you can find my royalty-free music and sound effects at rocksuresounds.com, and there's a link to that on the A Minute to Midnight website. And supporting Rockshore Sounds also helps to support aminutetomidnight.com. So that's it for today. Or one more thing, we have a Facebook group as well, and we love it if you join in there. So that's it for today. Tony signing off until the next show.